I remember where I stopped. When we were talking about prayer, and I talked about the will of God again extensively. And please, let's not forget that thing. The will of God, when John spoke to us in 1 John chapter 5, let's start today. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, we read that last time. And it said, verse 15, and if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. So, it said in that verse 14, for anything we ask according to his will, he hears us. And the Lord Jesus now said in that John chapter, is it 12? He said that, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever it is that you will, and that one will be done for you. Let's just read that one also. John chapter 15, sorry, not 12. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. In answer, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Now, what we said last time, which I should just say again for a minute, is the fact that the Lord Jesus said it here. He didn't qualify your knowledge of the will of God. He just said anything you ask, all right, it will be done for you. And John said that this is the confidence we have, that if we ask according to his will. I emphasize to us that John was trained by the Lord Jesus Christ directly. So he wasn't confused as to what he was saying. He was just trying to help us understand something. They said the same things, all right, using different words. The Lord Jesus said, if my words abide in you, then you will ask whatever you wish. What John was saying is that when the word of God abides in you, and you make your request based upon your understanding of that word, then you are asking according to the will of God. Do you understand my point? That we often emphasize the will of God matter as in, God wants me to go to Enugu, or he wants me to go to Onitsha. All right? Or God wants me to go to Malawi, or is it Australia? And we emphasize as Christians a lot of times, especially in the Pentecostal movement, knowing the will of God, how you will check inside your spirit and check whether the Holy Spirit is saying Australia or is saying Malawi. You understand my point? But that's not really what John was saying, because if you look at it in the context of this one that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, what he was saying is that the will of God is not just the specific knowledge about whether God wants you to have this thing or the other. I'm not saying God does not have a will about that. He does. But you see, we burden ourselves too much in trying to learn how to discern his specific will about things when what he wants us to know is his, let me put the word like this, his general will about those things. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, how does he reason? What I said last time, when I'm trying to pray whether I should go to Malawi or Australia, what God is saying is more fundamental. Is why do you want Malawi? Why do you want Australia? Do you understand my point? That if my words abide in you, you will understand the reason why Malawi may be important to you or it may not be important. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make here? Maybe you thought that, all right, if I don't go to Australia, I will never make it in life. All right? So you want to say, God, should I go to Australia? Should I go to Malawi? And God is saying that, listen, the basis upon which you are making those requests, all right, they are totally out of order. You think that promotion comes from geographical location. So if you are able to understand, first of all, if my word abides in you, that promotion does not come from the east or the west or the south, but that God is judge, you will have found out that your request that you present to God will be based on something different from your need for security. So you're asking according to his will now. If for a man, a woman who understands that promotion does not come from those places, they will come and they will not ask God with that kind of intensity, I want to go to Australia so that I can prosper in life. He said, I want to go to Australia. I heard it's a very fine place. I want to go and look at it. Do you understand my point? And God will open that, you'll be surprised. You open that door so fast, you will wonder, why this is hard to go abroad? Don't be this abroad where you're going, you'll come back just now. You understand? But the reason is because when you made your request, it was not based upon what other people are asking about. You understand? That, okay, this is the only passport to prosperity. So they are asking out of the will of God. They are out of the will of God when they are asking because they think it's a passport to prosperity. But there's nothing like wrong with you. Say, oh, I want to go sightseeing. I'd love to see this. You know, when you watch television, the kind of thing that white people worry about. You say, a person don't chop belly food, they think all kind of thoughts. You understand? You want to go and swim with dolphin. Anytime you see it, you wonder, these guys don't eat too. You know what I'm saying? You have somebody under the water. Say he wants to swim with dolphin, wants to look at coral reef. Anyway, if you get infected with that bug, God is not bothered. You understand my point? You want to go and swim with dolphin? No problem. Is it dolphin you want? Just make sure you don't swim with shark. And if it is shark you want to swim with, I will make it possible. You understand what I'm saying? But this time around, you're asking because, I mean, it's okay to spoil yourself once in a while. There's nothing wrong with that, really. If you make it the primary preoccupation of your life, that's where there's a problem. But I just want to emphasize to us again, so that was by the will of God. As a matter of fact, God has a specific will concerning whether you should go to Australia or not. You know that? If you believe that, say amen. But what I'm teaching is that he doesn't usually, most of the time, require you to know specifically. When we're talking about knowing the will of God in that area, in that context of prayer, what he wants you to know is whether promotion is in Australia or it is not. You get my point? Having known that, then your wish will be pure. I don't know whether I get my point. Having known that, of course, that promotion one is just one thing. There are many things to life. Do you understand my point? There are those who want to go to Australia so as to show to this girl who don't want to marry me, say, I feel go. You understand my point? Again, that is out of the will of God. Do you understand my point? That's called what? The pride of life. It's still out of the will of God. And there are those who want to go to Australia because I've suffered in my life. Let me just enjoy small. You understand my point? That, again, is out of the will of God. Do you understand? There are things that you are just thinking about, and the concepts behind those thoughts, they are out of the will of God. And that's why we are marrying the two things. So when John was saying, if we ask anything according to his will, he's saying for us to have understood in our hearts what are the precepts of God, like we talk about. That's what makes us ask according to his will. So the Lord Jesus said like this, if my word, and that's what I want to continue from today. I think I explained that one extensively last time. If you were not here or you didn't get it right, I think I did some good job of explaining it. Go and get this CD of last week and listen to it. I want to just pick up from there that issue of if my words abide in you. Because, you know, I guess that's what I began with that last time, but I've not spent all the time explaining what it really means to be in the will of God. Now, how do we get into that will? That's what I'm saying. Remember I said last time by explaining that what we are doing is to retrain the minds of believers. You understand? To retrain our minds so that we reason the way God reasons. Don't ever forget. Let's just read the scripture. It will be very good for us to use to just connect what I'm trying to say today. The school of prayer, we're talking about prayer. I'm just trying to emphasize the issue of asking according to his will. Now, today is how do I walk in that God's will all the time, so that all my requests will be according to his will. I was saying, yes, I wanted to clarify something. I just realized I didn't finish saying it. So God has a specific will. You understand my point? He does. But you tend to discover that will automatically if this general will and the general principles are established in your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, I was watching, there's a clip on TV when they want to advertise something they want to show. I think it was on CNN or one of these news channels about two women, I think leading women or something like that. Both of them are architects, all right? Okay. And they said that there's something they said about it that was interesting. That one woman always knew what she wanted to do. You know, now the thing with your heart, you're going to take interpret everything. You understand what I'm saying? He said one woman always knew what she wanted to do. The other one discovered it. But both of them are successful. When I heard that, I said, this is good for Christians to understand. One always knew that, listen, I want to design buildings. I want to build. I want to do this. The other one maybe just discovered it accidentally along the line. And what I want to say is that's how it is also with Christianity. You know, if we have the correct things established in our hearts, we will discover one way or the other where God wants us to be. What I'm emphasizing again is that when we talk about praying according to his will, people want to know that does God want me to have these shoes or he doesn't want me to have the shoes? That's what they ask. All right? That's what they want to know. Let me know the will of God before I pray. All right? And they go and say things like, we are praying this, you know, if it is according to your will. You know, they put a lot of question and undermine their own faith as if, okay, we have to know exactly what God's will is. And I'm saying to us again, that was not what he was saying. What he was saying is that your life, your thoughts must be according to the will of God. He said, let the words of our mouth and the meditation, you understand my point, of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. That's what he's talking about, is the way I reason. Do you understand what I'm saying? I just feel like I have to drive that point in. I know I said it last time. I'm trying to get it into people's hearts again. Yes, God has a will, whether I should be an architect or not, for those women. But what I'm trying to say is that one woman knew it, the other one did not know it. Just using their lives to illustrate. But if I walk with God and I tune my mind to the way he's thinking and he expects every believer to think, I will discover along the line what he really wants me to be. Are you getting my point? And that's why I say all the time that sometimes people say that if you want to ask God for something, you must be absolutely specific. It is not possible. That's what I want to say. They say, you ask him the kind of car you want. Which year do you want to be manufactured? You understand? What is the color? How many lights do you want in front? Who do you want to make it? All those things are unnecessary. You cannot be that specific. It's not possible, no. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, it's not. Because as you can only speak according to that which you have seen. But eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Are you getting my point? Neither has he entered into the heart of man, the thing that God prepared for those who love him. What should you be specific about? Okay, we'll continue to that one today, all right? But you can be specific about the fact that I need, okay, yes, a car as an example. I need mobility for my life, my wife, my family. I need it for my business, you understand? You can be specific about that. But the idea of that you must know whether you want a Lamborghini Countach or Ferrari Testarossa, you understand what I'm saying, is carrying this specificity thing too far. The will of God is that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. So I don't need a car to show anybody I'm successful. I can trek into eternal life and I'll be successful. Yes? That's a matter of fact. I remember one of my friends is in the UK. He said he bought a car then because his wife was talking too much. That he has gauged his life, there's nothing he's doing with it. There's a train, just a few, just walks more down his road, he gets to the train station. Then where is he driving to? And they have to pay so much tax on maintaining the car anyway. Fuel in the UK is so expensive. He said, look, I don't need it. What was he saying? My life, I don't need to prove to you that I'm successful in this London that I stay in. I don't need to prove to anybody. If I need it, I need it. If I think I don't need it, it doesn't concern you. Of course, by the time he started having children later, you know, those things will now start changing. All right? He had a child, another one, a third one, a fourth one. It's going to be a bit difficult to be dragging your whole clan down to the train station. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be more difficult at that time. You see what the will of God is there now? I understand that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. That is the will of God in that prayer. So if I'm making my prayer, it's not because, yes, I'm going to show them to say, I don't land. You understand? I ain't landing nothing. You understand my point? I'm just walking in the will of God. That's what we are saying. And as we're thinking properly, then we start experience that our wishes, that's the point, becomes, all right, or they become naturally something that God really wants us to have. The Lord is good. I hope I'm clear. Isaiah chapter 55, like I said, this is what we're trying to do to make sure that we, let me say, upturn this accusation here. Let's start from verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And the Lord says in verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's why you need to return. That's what he was saying. He said, this is the issue. Let's go back to the verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man, what? His what? So you see, unrighteousness is known by the way somebody reasons. That is, a man's thinking pattern, a woman's thinking pattern, is what determines whether he is righteous or she is not. You understand what I'm saying? And the Lord was saying that this is repentance. For a man to return to the Lord by changing his thoughts. He said, the unrighteous man, let him forsake his thoughts, And as a consequence, the wickedness of his ways, all right, I'm just mixing them together now, will be turned around. And this is why the Lord was saying that. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. He said, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Let's just stop there. Now, this is the point I'm making here. If you see, the Lord was not trying to, this is what a lot of people miss when they read this portion. The Lord was not trying to explain the supremacy of his person. Are you getting my point? He was not trying to explain to us that I'm better than all of you. You people are very, very bad. You know, you are low, that don't even, you can't compare. You can't compare. Me and you are not on the same level. Like, me and you are not in the same category at all. That was not what he was saying. He was lamenting. You understand my point? He was rebuking the people for that situation. He said, this is what I'm discovering. There is wickedness amongst you, and there is unrighteousness amongst you. And how did that come about? Because of your thoughts. And that's not right. He said, therefore, return. You know, forsake your way, forsake your thoughts. The current situation is that when I say think this way, you think the other way. And that's what we call unrighteousness. So he said people should return and start thinking the way God thinks. That is, God was calling people up to a higher way of thinking. That's just what it is. All right? That's just what it is. That is, please, my people, don't think the way the world thinks. You know, I was talking about with my wife today. We're just discussing many things led to it after I came back from Abuja yesterday. And I was saying that, let's take, for example, now. I said, you know, the world will just wake up one day and decide that this is fine. I said, and I have a normal way of revolting. Why should you tell me what is fine? I should tell you what is fine. I am the light of the world. You understand? You are not the light of the world. Because you own the television station does not mean you will dictate to me what is fine and what is not fine. You just wake up one day and say, this is in vogue. I said, who said so? To whom? On what occasion? You get my point? That is, I should tell you what is in vogue. I will decide what is good. I look at it if it is good. And I expect you to copy me. I'm the light of the world. And I think Christians should learn that thing. All right? It's not that people can complain that, is it okay for Christians to do like this or dress like this or not dress like that? I say, you miss the point where you're thinking like that. I don't know whether you get my point. The issue is that you should be the pace setter. You should come to church and say, let's go and see how this our pastors are dressing these days. We'll go out and go and copy it. There's all these Christians where they are going to church. Let's go and look at them. That is, we should be the one setting the pace, not fighting over, is it okay what Beyonce wear? Why should I discuss it? Why should I discuss it? Is she my standard? Are you getting my point? It's not a topic for discussion. Beyonce should come to church and ask whether it's okay what I'm wearing. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to explain. She should be the one to come and ask me whether, Pastor, is it okay the way I'm dressed? Not me discussing with my children whether what Beyonce is wearing is good or bad. What nonsense is that? Beyonce should be asking us questions. Please, I hope you are getting my point. That is, yes, we are supposed to set the pace. And listen, in life, that's the way it's supposed to be. Teach people the ways of God by the way you live and by the way you talk. Look, you should be in your neighborhood and say, if you don't do this, if you don't do this, be bold about it. That is not what life is about. I have come to understand that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. He said, if by this time you have not bought land, you are not doing well. It's okay. Listen, if I want to buy land, I buy land. If I don't want land, nobody will dictate to me whether I'm doing well or I'm not doing well by the amount of land I have or do not have. Please, I don't know whether you're getting my point. Listen, as Christians, we are supposed to be the one in front. Let people be following us. You understand? Those the one when school people say that so Christians will sing like now. There's a time you now say you go to church. There's gospel Makosa. You understand my point? I have no problem with Makosa. You follow what I'm saying? What I have a problem with is that why should we be discussing whether Makosa is good? Why didn't you do something? Let Makosa copy it. I don't know whether you heard me. And this is a matter of fact. You know, one thing you know if you know a bit of the way American history is and all of that. A lot of the songs that those people sang that began to make money for them later, they were things they were singing in church. We did not carry it outside. And I think I like it like that. That is the proper way. Church is not only choir music that's supposed to be in church. Choir music is one. Joyful, joyful, we adore. That's good. But that is one. Somebody should wake up one day and invent another one. And they'll say, praise the Lord, Brother Michael Jackson has a special song for us today. you're talking about Michael Jackson. I don't mean Michael. I'm just trying to say one brother in church that sings. And then he will sing it, so everybody will marvel. Wow. And everybody will come to church to come and hear a song from heaven. Then the producer in one secular music will come and copy it and say, boys, 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 there's a new thing happening. Those Christians have brought on that thing from heaven. Then they will go out and go and use it. You follow my point? That's Christianity. We set the pace. When we finish our songs, people can go and copy. We're not angry. Go and copy it. But I don't like the other way around. After Makusa has finished reading in town, we now go to church and say, ah, one brother has brought Christian Makusa. It's an insult. It is not the Makusa that's my problem. Or like my son will say, it's not the Mukasu that's my problem. It is the fact that we always wait. And then if something is raining outside, we now come to church, Luwe, Luwe, Luwe. After the world has finished Luwe, Luwe for like 2 years, we now want to try and be relevant. Are you getting my point? You will not be arguing, is it okay for a Christian to sing Makusa? Listen, if you want to sing Mukasu, it's your problem. But I just feel that, let Mukasu come and copy something from you one day now. I'm waiting. And when I talk about how to walk for God, those are the kind of things I try to talk about. You see, a preacher, the Bible says that a scribe who has been instructed in the ways of the kingdom is like the keeper of his house, of the household, who from his treasure house brings out treasures, both new and old. Now, that's one thing I want to bring up. The issue of new. That's a scribe, a teacher. If you read the New American Standard, it uses the word a teacher who has been instructed. All right? So let's take it like you have preachers. Somebody like me, I'm a teacher of the word of God. All right? But there are also musicians who are called. So from their household, they should bring out things both new and old. You understand? There should be new things that nobody ever heard before. And it happens all the time. I remember the first day I heard this lady. I don't know whether she's a Christian or not, but I just want to use an illustration. Asha. The first day I heard it, I said, I had almost never heard anything like that before. Do you understand my point? It was so striking. Somebody gave me a lift in the car. I just heard it. It was so striking. That's something new. If we have musicians amongst us, you understand? We should create things, you understand my point? And let other people come and copy. And I think the thing about Christianity, okay, I was talking about that book, How to Walk for God, all right? That's something I try to explain to people. It's not only those who are preachers, per se, that you expect to bring forth new revelation. No. The man who's designed, Christians should design clothes. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, they should be fashion designers. And we should set the pace. I don't care what Rihanna is wearing. That's her problem. And let all the evil people that want to follow her be checking her picture and copying. I don't think that's the proper thing for believers. It is, it's not about... you're getting what I'm saying? It's not about... Is it right for Christians to do this or not? No, I'm going beyond that level. I'm saying let's set the pace. Let's be the ones people are copying. That's what I'm trying to explain. So when God said... let's get back to our message, all right, for the day. When he said that my ways are not your ways, that's what he was saying. People have thoughts, they have ideas that are not the things that God wants them to think. And the Lord, that's what he was rebuking them concerning that he should come up to a higher level and come and take thoughts from my mind. He should come up to a higher level and come and learn my ways. And back to what we're saying. So when we're talking about praying according to the will of God, we are talking about praying on the platform or praying out of the background of the knowledge of God's ways. That's what we're talking about. We are talking about praying with a background of his thoughts in our minds. Because sometimes when people, let me give you a very good example, a very perfect example, very, very, very good example is Solomon. You see, when you say prayers, I said it before, the fact that God answers a prayer does not mean that he's happy with the prayer point. And we can easily understand that from the life of Solomon. God said, ask for anything. Anything, anything, anything. And you know what anything means? Who can tell me the meaning of anything? It means anything. Thank you very much. So like I always say, let's assume Solomon lives today. If Solomon said, you mean it? Ah. Okay, I want to collect a tithe from all the oil they are drilling in the Middle East. God will have said, no problem. Say, this 1 billion that the court says Samsung should pay to Apple, they should give me another 1 billion. I said, no problem. He could have asked for anything. And if you check it, the very things that people normally would ask for were the things that God commended him for not asking for. You know, we go to church these days. All my enemies. God said, you did not even ask for the life of your enemies. Do you understand my point? Now, you are following what I'm saying. So, and why was it like that? It's simple. So what did Solomon ask for? You know the rest of the story. He asked for wisdom, that he will have understanding, so he'll be a good judge in Israel. He'll be able to teach the ways of God to the people of God. And God was really impressed. And the Lord now looked at him and said, see, all those you did not ask for, I will give them to you in addition to the one you asked for. Now, why did Solomon do that? Remember, we've discussed it before. It wasn't because he was inherently wise in himself. It wasn't because of a revelation from the Holy Spirit. Say, shh, let me tell you how to catch God on this matter. You understand? It wasn't like that. It was the fact that his father taught him. David had learned that thing and explained to him, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. He said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. The book of Proverbs is ascribed mostly, apart from the last three books or so, to Solomon. But like I say all the time, it's not Solomon that wrote the first few chapters of Proverbs, really. It was David. Solomon only recorded the things that David taught him. That's just what happened. And that's when you go through it, you see that he will tell you, my father used to say. And my father will say, you say things like, my son. In my own understanding, all those my son, Solomon was not talking to his son. He was recording what his father said to him. And that's why he heard him say, my father will say to me. All right? And when I was still young, before my mother, you know, she said, these are the things that were in the household we David had learned over time. You know, of all David's sons, that was the only one that his head was together. You understand? The other ones, let's not talk about them. One of them was a model. You know now, Absalom was a model. Fine boy, no pimples. What's the name of that footballer in England? David Beckham, yes. That's Absalom for you. I mean, and the guy knew how to toast people. He was good. That's what the Bible says. Oh, no, don't worry about it. I know. And you know, his babbing was his ceremony. Everybody, come, king, prince, one shave. The whole nation, he'll cut his head, then they will now wait. He has beat the hair-cutting record for this year. And that's what he was captivated with. He was busy, you know, being a fine boy. If everything God gives you, you allow to occupy you. The Lord is good. That just by the way. And you know the story of Amnon. You know Amnon now. You know the story of Amnon. That guy was chasing all the babes in Israel. That's how come the spirit could enter into him. The spirit doesn't just jump into a place where a door was not left open for him. Those children were ambitious. They were not well trained. And David learned a very bad lesson from the way he handled his children. God loves you and you are doing his will. Doesn't guarantee him all these things though. You must learn the law concerning fatherhood. Yeah, you must learn the law concerning fatherhood. David learned a very, very bad way. But the point, let's not even sit on that. The point is that by the time Solomon finally arrived, his head, in fact, he had been humbled. God had even finished personally punishing him for the evil that he did. The fellow was very humble. This time around, he sat down and taught Solomon how to be a king. Just by the way, you know, we talk plenty because we're always coming here. We have to keep on teaching, all right? People say, democracy, is it the best form of government? You know, that kind is a fat lie. It's not the best form of government. It's not. Let me ask you a question. How will you want, you know, just answer this, all right? How will you want to be sick? And everybody has to vote on who will treat you, not minding their qualification. They say, okay, Pastor Kemete is right here. He may be the one to do the surgery. All right, he's a pastor. All right, he said, okay, Bishop is here. Bishop Mike is an architect. All right, he may do the surgery depending on who wins the election. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, this is Mrs. Banky. All right, she's an accountant by training, but she's a businesswoman right now. You never can tell. She may be able to cure you of this sickness. And you have like 10 people say the whole population should vote on who will operate on you. Think about it though. Nobody will accept that kind of thing. He said, look, let Bishop do the surgery. Everybody has seen the kind of houses he's designing. You look at them like, are you people all right? I said, I need surgery. You are voting because you saw the house somebody designed. My body a building. But that's not what we do. That's what we do with governance now. That's what we do. The popular man, they think he make the best president. The Lord is good. Just go on what we are saying, Joe. The law, hey, I'm digressing now. I'll get back to my teaching, my prayer matter, but I just feel like explain some of these things. What David did was to, from beginning, teach Solomon how to be a king. Solomon was a certified ruler. I don't know, get my point. It's as if he went to school to study how to rule. And the divine order those days, all right, for rulership was monarchy. The idea behind monarchy is not that this family is superior. That's what crippled it. When people misunderstood and decided doing nobility, we are noble, we are this, these are the commoners, we are the royalty. That's why God just give me a knife. Just cut the whole thing off. Turn the whole thing to democracy. Democracy is not the best. The truth is that what God did was that someone like Prince Charles now of England, what they would have done since he's a child, they say, listen, kings don't drink in the morning. So he gets the point. He goes to school. Now, get what I'm saying? He had to go into the military so that he could be a commander. They taught him every aspect. He had to learn economics. He learned international relations. He had to learn all of those things. So by the time he's taking the throne for his father, he's a good ruler. That's the concept. And then his children, because you know that this family, you understand? They are the ruling family. Not the better family, not the superior family. You understand? Just that their job in the nation is to rule. Just like another family, their job, all right, was to be priests, all right? So that one, they said, look, they are sharing land. Don't share for him, he's a priest. That was the way it was in Israel. When some people are dabbling with buying and selling, he's a Levite. No, send him to the temple. What is he doing in the temple? Every day he's waking up, he's learning the law. He's learning the ordinances of God. Some of them are teaching priests. They taught the rest of the nation how to fear God. That was their duty. They were not inferior to anybody else. Some, they will always be the champion warriors, no matter what they do. Those ones, since they are children, they are firing arrows. But these days, you know, the whole world has denied God. Everybody's upside down. So if you make any man a ruler now, confusion is the portion of all his children. You know what I'm saying? They just feel like, why should we work? Our father is rich. Everybody's paying us taxes. But that was not the concept. The concept was that, listen, these people, they are the ruling family. If things work properly, if you allow them to compete for that post, nobody will be able to beat them. Not because it was their right, but because they were trained from the beginning. That, listen, when kings come and they send you a ministry, look, if they send you wife, don't take her. You know, your great-grandfather. Now, those wives, so they give them, see what it cost. He say, okay, he nods. You are not in office here to become rich. They show him the commandments of God. You understand? So by the time this boy is 20, drop him on any nation in the world, he'll be the best king they can have. That was the concept. But of course, with human beings, it's so hard. God said, okay, give them democracy. Give them democracy. Now, so what happened to Solomon was that his father took him through that school. From the beginning, all those things were explained to him. And one of the things that his father taught him was that, listen, when you get into a situation and you have to make a choice, always make a choice concerning that which makes you wiser. You get my point? So when your friend said, look, let's go and play. If we go there, we'll be able to do something and make some money. He said, no, let's go and learn wisdom. He said, leave that play for now. Leave that money making. Go and learn wisdom. That all those things that you'll have been looking for, wisdom will bring them down to you. Now, what am I saying? He learned how to think like a king. Let me put it like that. And that's what we are as believers. We are kings with God. Did I hear an amen? So what we are supposed to do is learn how to what? To think. All right? So he said, as things are right now, we're telling people of Israel, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. And that's not supposed to be. So how did Solomon get into the thinking pattern of God? It's simple. He was taught. Are you getting me? He said, come, you children, listen to me, and I will do what? I will teach you the thinking pattern, all right, that God requires of you. So how do we learn that as Christians? Let's quickly read this one, the book of Jeremiah again, Daniel. This was the one we started with last time. What we are talking about all this while is this issue of praying. And I said I was talking about learning and praying. What I've been trying to explain is that without understanding praying is difficult. Our wishes and desires are stirred up. The ones that God will grant instantly. The one he will agree with and love us, all right, for bringing up before him. They only come as we learn. This is very instructive to note, all right? Daniel chapter 1, chapter 9, from verse 1. It says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans. Verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Now, having observed that, verse 3, so I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments.